Today I'd like to talk about giving thanks. You know, so many times with our prayer requests, it's always, a lot of times we ask for things, but, you know, when we see answered prayer, we need to give thanks. Like Caroline asked for, said, I want to thank everybody for praying for brother, for Butchie. And, you know, she asked prayer because, you know, they didn't know where he was for a while. She asked, I want the church to pray. And that's what we need to do. When we ask for prayer and we get answered prayer, and it was a pretty good, pretty quick answered prayer, right, Caroline? So when we get that, then we need to go to him and say, you know what, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for just, you know, acknowledging my prayer request. So what we got to realize is, I'll get to my verses and whatever, but, you know, when we look at it and we have to, you know, give thanks. When we look in the, you know, and I didn't really go into the book of Psalms because I could have probably went to probably about 50 or 75 Psalms, Gary, and said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So we could go through there and we could see these things. But, you know, one of the things in the Old Testament and what we realize is that he hears our prayers. Because, and one of them it says, O thou, remember we were talking about this maybe a couple weeks ago, O thou who hearest prayer. That's in the Psalms. O thou who hearest prayer. And we keep at thinking, you know, does he hear my prayers? But we can see because he answered this prayer that we know that he heard our prayers, right? So that was, what is that, when we see these things happen, what does it do? Is it encourages us to pray. Maybe I should have had my message as prayer today. But it encourages us to pray when we see answered prayer, because we now have physical evidence that he hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. Not that we didn't realize already that he does hear our prayers and he does answer our prayers, but when we see these things, okay? So that's what we got to do. We look at these things and we realize that he is there for us. He's there for us. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. You know, I was going to comment on one of that. And let me go back there just a second. In the second stanza, it's down about halfway, over halfway. And it says, can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we ever find a friend so faithful as Jesus? We've got someone that we can share our sorrows with. During the week, when we're not at church, we might not have interaction with other brothers and sisters in Christ. We have someone that we can interact with all the time. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can always interact with him any time of the day, 24 hours a day. Because I believe that he never sleeps. He's ever there for us. Because he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He's there for us all the time. And that's why we should give thanks. Give thanks to him. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see Paul says that we should what? We should be giving thanks always, always for all things. Because he's so good unto us. He really is good unto us. You know, for different things, you know, for watching over us and just being there for us all the time. In various degrees in what's going on in our lives, that he's there for us. You know, I'm really, you know, thankful for all the times I drive on that Borman Expressway. There's some crazy people that drive on the Borman Expressway. You ever been on there? You know exactly what I'm talking about. And then when they have road construction, it gets worse. So I'm thankful over 11 years that I've been driving on there, that he watched over me. I know Bill's giving thanks, gave thanks for all those years, those 47 years, that he drove that propane tank. Yeah, he had some accidents, some more severe than others. But, you know, through all those things, you know, he makes us stronger. He makes us stronger in our faith towards him because he knows he's there and he watches over us through all those times. Through all those times. You know, I worked where we built railroad cars. I gave thanks for God for over the 25 years that I worked there. And that I seen a couple of people actually get killed there. I seen people get hurt really bad. And the Lord brought me through all those things. You know, giving thanks always for all things. You know, I wrote some notes down here, and it says, we know that we should give thanks for our daily bread, don't we? The daily bread, for the things that he gives us that we stand in need of, that he provides for us each and every day. When we get up in the morning, he's allowed us to be yet another day in the land of the living. You know, the Bible never promises us tomorrow. It doesn't promise us tomorrow. You could have a heart attack, you get into an accident, you get anything that could happen. I'm not trying to drag anybody down. It just goes to show you, he doesn't promise us tomorrow. So when we wake up tomorrow, we should give thanks. We should give thanks that he's given us yet another day in the land of the living. You know, our daily bread, give us the things that we stand in need of. Some of it is our daily food. Some of it is spiritual blessings that he bestows upon us. For his mercy and for his blessings. Remember that publican wouldn't so much as lift up his head to look up to heaven, but he bowed, smote his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's what our prayer should be every day. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because that's what we are. Since the fall of Adam, we're sinners. And we should be thankful for God because in Romans it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That might be in one of my verses because I got quite a few of them in Romans. That he's so good unto us. But we need to take the time and make the effort to really thank him and consider the things that we are grateful for. Grateful for. I don't mean to embarrass my wife, but she's been good to me. My blood sugar's been here and there and whatever, and she's been trying to help me. We were at a birthday party on Friday evening, and things got a little confused, didn't it, Susie? So someone brought me a piece of cake with ice cream, and someone else brought me a cupcake with some ice cream. And they're all like, oh, just go ahead and let him eat both of them. And my wife said, oh, no. He ain't eating both of them. He's diabetic. He's got to keep his sugar down. So, no, he's not eating both of those. And I, you know, Some people might be offended and say, what do you mean I can't eat both of them? I was thankful that she said that, even though I wasn't going to do it anyway. But she's giving me a look. If she wasn't there, maybe I might have, Gary. Maybe I might have, but she was there. So I'm giving thanks for her because she's so good. You know, David's been good to me, you know, mowing the grass and everything, even though maybe I probably should mow it here and there to give him a little bit of break and get me some exercise. But, you know, when we look at those things, we need to give thanks, you know, for some of these people, you know, that are there for us, you know, that, you know, Brother Roger, he gives thanks, you know, for Gary for just being there, helping him and everything. You know, he gave thanks today for Caroline for just being there for him. You know, these are the things we need to remember two things. We need to remember and give thanks for our family members that are there for us, our blood relatives, you know what I mean? But we need to really give thanks for our church family. And I want you all to know you're all part of our family. I don't care if you're members of the church or not. You're all part of our family. I consider you part of our family, okay? When my dad passed away, I received more comfort from my church family than my regular family. And that's how much I appreciate each and every one of you, because we're there for one another. You know, when something goes a little bit wrong or whatever, and like with, I don't mean to pick on Butch either, Butch was missing for a while there, that we closed ranks and we prayed for him. And that's the way it should be. When one rejoices, everybody in the church rejoices. But when one is sorrowful or one's hurting, then we're all hurting. We're all hurting. And that's the way we should be in being a church. That we know each other. And know when someone's hurting. That we can be there and help each other. You know, we need to take the time. You know, some people, the old saying is, you know, you got to take time to smell the roses, right? And we need to do that sometimes. We need to slow down. Sometimes we have that, you know, we've got that fast pace and we got to think we got to be moving all the time. Sometimes we just need to just to take some time and commune with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he's there for us. Jesus, once again, is our prime example for giving thanks. Because so many times we see Jesus saying, I want to thank thee, Father. So here's Jesus. He's our prime example. You know, I guess in anything, he should be the one to be our main example as we look at so many things, whether it's prayer or giving thanks or things like this. So let's go back to the book of Matthew for a little bit. First place is Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to read verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Let's read verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So right away, we see, he goes, I thank thee, O Father. But look at, he just doesn't stop there. He calls him the Lord of heaven and earth. So Jesus is what? Giving his heavenly Father due benevolence for who he is. He's, you know what, he's not only my Father, but he's also the Lord of heaven and earth. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. You know who he's talking about, Sue, when he says revealed them unto babes? He's talking about us. Because we have to become babies in Jesus Christ. Because he has to kind of, I don't know if I'm going to sneeze or not. He's revealed, you know, we have to become babes in Christ so that he can start teaching us. Because he says, first and foremost, he says, you know what? We need to be fed with milk. And when we look at that, babies are that way, aren't they? When a baby's born, he can't eat steak and potatoes, can he? He can't eat no fried chicken. Anything like that, you have to give him milk. And as he gets older, and you give him maybe baby food, and then you start giving him a little bit of solid food, and then he can eat food. That's the way it is with us. Just because we become a child of God, he just doesn't say, okay, here you go, you know everything now. That's not the way it is, Sister Geneva. We have to learn. We have to read the scriptures. We need to go to him in prayer. Remember when Jesus asked his apostles, but who do you say that I am? And what did Peter say unto him? He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So he reveals these things unto us as we grow. So we need to give thanks unto him that he takes care of us and he reveals things unto thee, revealed them unto babes. He reveals all these things unto us. Sometimes it's through the word. Sometimes it's through preaching. Sometimes it's maybe going and communing with the brothers and sisters of Christ as we go to other meetings. And we sit down and we talk with some of these other preachers. A lot of times Brother Leroy says, well, Brother Dave, you're kind of quiet. I'm just taking it all in, brother. That's it. I want to listen. I'm not wanting to speak and whatever. I just want to listen. And thanks be to us when we listen to some of these things. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to read verses 36 through 38. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. I didn't want to read 39, but so we can see that they found out that there was a multitude around. And if you look at verse 33, and his disciples saying to him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. So they had 7 loaves of bread. Now, if we look at it in this day and age, a loaf of bread would be about like this, you know. Remember, they didn't have all that processed stuff in there, did they, like they do today or anything like that. They ate some good, healthy bread and whatever. It was probably a whole wheat or something like that they had. And so let's just say maybe this big round, if we look at like an Italian loaf bread or something like that. So they had only 7 of those and 2 small fishes. And Jesus, I'm sure when he blessed and gave thanks, took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks, I'm sure he lifted up his hands to heaven like this. And he just closed eyes and looked with his face up to heaven and said, thanking his heavenly Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for this food. And blessed to the nourishment of the bodies of those people. And there was what? 4,000 men. That was just the men. That was only the men. So when we heard it say 4,000, we don't get that beside women and children. So there was more. How much more, I don't know. But we know there was at least 4,000. And he blessed it, and he broke the bread and put it in baskets, and they gave it to the people. And they went around and they gathered it all up. And when they took it all up, there was 7 baskets full. Now again, I can only spell, I don't know what size these baskets were. But I'm thinking, Brother Roger, they were maybe a little bit bigger basket, because they had to go around and feed over 4,000 people. So these baskets were probably pretty good, and the fragments that were left. So these people ate enough as they could. Bread and fish. We have to understand that, I know in this day and age, a lot of people probably don't like fish. But back then, fish was probably a staple of their food back then. So they ate all of this and had this much left over. So we can see some people would say this is a miracle, but Jesus was probably, that just wasn't a miracle. I knew what I could do. I knew that I would be able to do this. He had that confidence in himself. And he had to have that confidence, didn't he, Brother Roger? He had to be confident. We look through there, and we never see anything anywhere in the 4 Gospels that Jesus ever wavered in his resolution and what he was sent down on this earth to do. He never wavered from that, not at all. Turn to Luke chapter 22. We're going to read 17 through 19. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's read verse 20. He said, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." So we can see that this was what? This was at the Last Supper. And Jesus knew. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He did not have very long to live. Hours, probably. Because after this, I think he went to the garden and was praying. And remember, they came to the garden and took him. And when they took him, to the high priest, to the council, and then to Pilate, and then they crucified him. It wasn't very long in between this. So he knew this. His disciples didn't know it. The 12 apostles, the people that were there with him, they didn't know it. But he gave thanks. He gave thanks. "Take this and divide it among yourselves." And he took the bread and he gave thanks also and gave it to them. He knew that the hand of one of them that was with him was going to betray him. He knew all of this stuff. But he was here just giving thanks for everything. It's a good example unto us. Remember, it said giving thanks always for all things in Ephesians chapter 5. giving thanks always for all things. And here he was, Jesus, our example, giving thanks always for all things. Turn to John chapter 6. We're going to read verses 11 and 23. Pretty much the same thing. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Look at verse 12. When they were filled, the people that were eating, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. He didn't want to waste anything. And here they filled 12 baskets full with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. And it was amazing that we see all of these things. In verse 23 it says, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. So we can see Jesus was our one good example as we look at that and see how they were giving thanks all the time for so many things. Turn chapter 11 to John. We're going to read verses 41 through 43. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So we can see the power of Jesus here on earth as he's giving thanks. And they rolled the stone away. You know, in one place it says, Lord, you know, he's going to stink. He's been in there 2 or 3 days now. And we know that that is normally true, isn't it, Brother Roger? The body starts decaying as soon as it dies. They said they rolled the stone away from where he was laid. And Jesus, he lifted up his eyes. Remember I said how he's lifting up his eyes. I'm sure he's got his hands out. I think that was the way he prayed a lot. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Because he was talking unto his father. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. I want to go back up to verse 39. 4 days he had been in there. Because it says, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And when he said, Lazarus, come forth, I think Brother Roger brought this out one time very adequately, that he came out and he had to be floating in the air. And I kind of thought, okay, wait a minute. Is that really true? But then you look at it, Gary, and it says that he was still bound with his feet. Now, unless he was walking on his tippy toes, like you see in some of the cartoons, they're walking on their little tippy toes. Unless he was walking on his little tippy toes coming out, he had to have been come floating out. So Brother Roger brought that out very adequately when we look at that. And what he said was very scripturally. And here we go in verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, It didn't say that he was walking, he came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, I'm not going to say how far he was up, and he might have been just a little bit up, Carl, but he came. But he was tied hand and foot because they said, unloose him. Unloose him. So he was bound. So he couldn't have really walked out. He had to have come out some other way, and I agree with Brother Roger on that. So we can see, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. See, Jesus is our prime example for always going to the Father and thanking him. Now, if you get some time during the week and you want to look at it, if you have a strong concordance, go up there and thank, and maybe look in the New Testament. Look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see and study it out to see how many times it's actually Jesus that is talking and saying, I thank thee, or thank you. Might be something to look at one of these days when you get some time. You know, it's not only us preachers that should study out the Word. What do you think, Brother Roger? Let some of them maybe study it out a little bit and see. This is why when he said they studied it, these were nor noble than the Testament, they searched the Word to see if those things were so. So search the Scriptures to see if what I'm saying is so. If Jesus is out there giving thanks so many times. We're going to go back to Ephesians, not too far. Right after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. As we go through all these things, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 15 to 23. Wherefore I also, this is Apostle Paul, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we can see, Apostle Paul, after he heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, he says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So he said, that's how much he thought of us and them back then, that he made mention of them in your prayers. But look at what he says. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart being enlightened. And when he opens up our eyes, that we know, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is as saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Isn't that when we look at that? The power to usward who believe. See, so many times, and you've heard me talk about this, we have qualifying statements. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which is his body, the church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We look at all these things that he blesses us with and he bestows upon us each and every day. You know, the Lord is good to his own. He really is. And he watches over us all the time. We're going to close with this last verse. I got more, quite a bit more. Maybe I'll continue on with this next week, the Lord willing. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You know, we're going to read 1 through 4. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but what? But rather giving of thanks. So we should be really involved in giving thanks and not so much all these other things. You know? He's given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We need to walk in love. We need to be an important member of his family, the family of God, the family of Jesus Christ. You know, I was talking, we had my two sisters came over this week and we were talking, and you know, they were talking about different religions. Or my sister Laura, her sister-in-law is kind of a little opinionated, wouldn't you say, darling? A little opinionated. And she was really getting down on Catholics and everything, and which I didn't want to really say anything, but you know, when it comes into heaven, there's not going to be, and I told them this, I says, you know, in heaven there's no congregations. There's no different churches. We're all of the family of God, the family of Jesus Christ. And we're going to hear, when we're up there, I hope Jesus does some preaching. I'd like to listen to Peter. I'd like to listen to Paul. And they're going to be preaching the true gospel. The gospel that I believe that we here at Mount Zion preach. Not some of these Primitive Baptist Church and others that preach time salvation and the feel-good religions and this and that. Because we're going to be looking on the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is something to give thanks for. I thank you for your kind attention this morning. Hopefully what I've said will be of a comfort you and will help you to give thanks. Give thanks for those things that God has given unto each and every one of us. Does anybody have a song in closing?